Hi, I'm Larry Lieberman here for Inside Windows Phone. Today I'm joined by Saral Shodan from the Windows Phone team and Tyler Furtwängler, who works on the SharePoint team but is also one of our ISVs for Windows Phone. You work on Taptitude. We've talked about Taptitude here before. We'll link to that previous session. But today we're here to talk to you about a new Windows Phone 8 feature, in-app purchase. And we've had a big talk about that before. We're going to talk about it a little bit, then we'll go into a situation where you can actually make an existing Windows Phone 7 app light up when it's run on Windows Phone 8 with this new feature. So there's a way to actually add this to an app that's still compiled as a 7 app and make it light up on Windows Phone 8.
That's perfectly correct, Larry. Light up a 7 app which you compile for Windows Phone 7, but when it runs on an 8.0 device, brings out the in-app commerce features for you as a developer to help monetize and engage with your customers.
This is fantastic because someone can continue to build and develop and deliver their 7 app and then add this new feature that becomes available only when the 8 devices become rapidly available globally.
Correct. So what Tyler is going to help us today is kind of show us how they have taken this approach and integrated in-app commerce in-app purchase in their application. What I will do first off is just kind of do a brief introduction into what is the platform offering for in-app purchase for you as a developer to take advantage to either sell items that customers can repeatedly purchase, what we refer as consumables, that can be used within your application in various scenarios such as bag of gold, or if you're a first shooter game, then maybe weapons of some sort, any such scenarios. Or you could sell them an up-level one-time sale, which is what we refer as durables, that they will have for life and they purchase once and enjoy in your app or game.
So support for both consumables and durables in our in-app purchase offering.
Perfect. So when we started this work, our goal has always been to help customers find more engaging apps and at the same time developers find more ways to generate revenue. Our goal has been that our users know what they're buying and for our developers to distribute digital goods across the world, which is 190 countries. And you ask, how do we do this?
So how did you do this?
Yes. So for us, the important thing is we want to provide our consumers of our device a consistent, a standard, and a trusted purchase experience. That means that when they bring up the purchase screen from your application, they're taken to the standard Windows Phone purchase screen. Also, with the platform security that we provide you as a developer so that you can only unlock goods when a purchase is successful. So you can trust the platform. We provide you the tools to distribute your in-app purchase through DevCenter and also a geo-distributed services so that your catalog listings are available to your app across the world. So worldwide scale, just out of the box. So the next thing I want to talk about is just at a high level the model between you, the developer, and Microsoft. So as I said, the first thing you do is submit your application into our catalog through DevCenter. The flexibility that we have provided within our purchase is that you don't have to finish submission of your application through DevCenter, but just start a submission, and then you can come in and start adding your product listings. Product listings are your definitions of the items that you sell within your application, and Tyler is going to show us soon what they look like in DevCenter. Once you've configured the app and your in-app items and the customer has downloaded your application, the thing you do next is browse for the list of items available in your app so that you can contextually provide the customer the things that they can purchase. Once the customer clicks on purchase, as I said, we go through the standard purchase flow. What we are also very proud to have built is a secure licensing mechanism so that you can enumerate those licenses, make sure to check for is active on each license before you fulfill the goods. Alternatively, you can also connect the items the customer has purchased and save the state on your server or deliver goods off of your own server. And then finally, fulfill acknowledgement back to Microsoft that we know that you have fulfilled the goods to the customer. Now I'll turn it off to Tyler to kind of walk us through how he has implemented in-app purchase in his game.
So Tyler, why don't you tell us who you are?
Thank you, sure. Thanks for having me here. I'm Tyler Furtwängler. I'm one of the developers in Four Bros Studio, game studio. We're a little small studio that has me and my three brothers in it. We make a free game called Taptitude for Windows Phone. Taptitude, you know, it's a mini game that has 70 plus mini games in it, and we update it every week with new content, features, new mini games, things like that. One of the unique things we have is a rich upgrade system in it. We have over 550 upgrades that can be, you know, earned throughout the game, and these upgrades range from small little power-ups to durable upgrades that actually change the way the game is played. So we're really excited to use in-app purchase to sort of leverage our rich upgrade system to monetize on it.
That's great. It absolutely fits your model. You know, you can't play your game without thinking, wow, I wish I could buy some of this stuff.
Mm-hmm.
So how are you using in-app purchase in your app? You're going to walk us through the code a little bit here?
Yeah, definitely. So sort of a high-level thing is we're splitting up into two different pieces. One is the consumables that Saral had mentioned. We're actually allowing you to purchase credits inside of our game, and these credits aren't earnable in any other way besides purchasing them with real money. And these credits can be used to purchase any one of our upgrades. So, you know, that's the repeat purchase consumable aspect. We also have a durable in-app purchase selection of, you know, different things that will change the game, one of which is Taptitude Gold. It's a membership that you can buy yourself into that removes the ad in the game.
I like it.
Yep, exactly.
No more ads for me.
Yeah, exactly. And it also gives you some leaderboard effects. It makes your text in the leaderboard gold and shiny and kind of makes you stand out in the leaderboards.
Fantastic.
So,
all right, so first, Saral is going to walk us through the actual app experience and what it looks like to end users. So here we're looking at the first screen that shows up when you launch Taptitude. Actually, you're launching it here.
Yes.
Okay.
And as you can see that they have a bunch of games that I can play. And one of the games that I love playing is the Coin Miner. And I go in, and it allows me to kind of mine coins, which is kind of fun sometimes. You know, you have time. But this, you can see, takes forever. I wish I had a bigger pickaxe, but no worries. I can go in and buy one of the devil's pickaxes, which will allow me to kind of mine fast. But the devil's pickaxe requires more credits to buy. And voila, here is the store that they have implemented. This is the listing that they are querying from the Windows Phone services. This allows them to show in context the things that the customer can buy. Here I'm going to buy 100 credits. They have displayed what this item can do through a tag, and I'm going to buy it, which brings up the standard Windows Phone purchase scene, which is very important from a confidence perspective because it allows our customers who have used Windows Phone in the past to know exactly who they're interacting with and what they're buying. So here we're showing that they're buying 100 credits from Taptitude and the price. In this case, it is free, but you can imagine that there will be a price there. I go ahead and buy this item, and voila, the app now queries, is waiting for this, and it queries for licenses, and the underlying platform will notify that you have these credits. And you can see that it went to 101, and now I can go ahead and buy the goods. Now switching into something that we wanted to touch about, what Tyler is going to talk next is how they incorporated this in-app commerce feature into their 7.5 application. Yeah. Tyler, why don't you walk us through how you've incorporated the in-app purchase in your app.
All right, thank you. So Taptitude is an XNA game. It's built on it's a 7.5 app built on XNA. And so to really take advantage of the 8.0 phones and the 8.0 features like in-app purchase, we're lighting up these features for those devices. And I'll sort of walk you through a high level of how we incorporate that. So the first thing you need to do is create a shared 7.5 library. And this library it contains the interfaces in an abstract class of what your app wants to call into. These are going to be things like getting that product listing information or requesting a purchase. And these are abstract, no implementation for those.
Okay. And that's what, it's a 7.5 library, yep. Just like you would create a 7.5 project
exactly.
And go in and do
yep.
that. And then what is next?
The next thing you're going to want to do is create an 8.0 library. This is where you're going to actually start implementing some stuff. In your 8.0 library project, you're going to have it produce a DLL, and you're going to reference that 7.5 abstract class library.
So you can sort of see here. The abstract class here is the store base.
Yep.
And the implementation is the Apollo store off the store base.
Yep.
So would it be fair to say that the 8.0 library is now implementing the functions that are exposed by the Windows Phone 8 platform?
Yep, exactly. We're going to actually implement those functions using the 8.0 libraries and APIs that are available to us. So next thing you're going to want to do is take these two pieces of these two DLLs that you've built and include them into your game. So here you can see that we have a 7.5 app, and you include the 8.0 library as content inside of your 7.5 app. What this will do is actually ship your DLL as part of the Zap, and then it's available to you inside of your app to use Reflection to get into. Okay. And so I'll walk you through a little bit of the code since this can be a little bit confusing, but essentially your 7.5 app is using an 8.0 DLL, Reflection to get into it, and then to call the interfaces defined in your abstract class.
And you do this all conditionally based on what...
Exactly, based on the OS
you're
version.
Running yep. on. So you have to check that too.
Yep, exactly.
Okay.
So,
and would you be sharing this code with the other developers?
Of course. We'll put this on CodePlex so that it's available for other
and
people.
And we'll put a link
Fantastic.
To this.
Fantastic, you mm-hmm. bet.
Wonderful.
All right, so let's switch gears here and go over to the code and see how we do this.
Yeah, we're going to switch over now.
Voila.
All right.
So here we are in Visual Studio, and you're running this in the Windows Phone 8 SDK,
yes.
I noticed. But you can build 7 projects
course,
and
yep.
work on 7 projects in the Windows Phone 8 SDK. You're here in Visual Studio 2012. I see the name of the project is Taptitude.mango, mm-hmm. mm-hmm. Which was our code name for Windows Phone 7.5.
Right.
Why don't you walk us through a little bit of what you were just talking about?
Sure. So this is our Taptitude Mango project. This is, again, our 7.5 app. And inside of this app, we actually have defined an Apollo launcher, we call it. Apollo is the code name for Windows Phone 8, so we still have some code names in here. But inside of this project, we actually have defined the APIs that we want to use.
This is just a C# project that you compile into its
yep,
own
it's
DLL.
It's actually a library.
Okay, it's a mm-hmm. library.
Mm-hmm. A C# library. It's a project on its own that produces a library. And this actually exposes those APIs that we talked about. We actually mimicked very closely to what the 8.0 APIs are today, so that we didn't have to worry about too much of our own stuff. So here we expose load listing information async, which this is the method you would call to actually pull the listing information. But it's not actually implemented here. It's just defined. So if we switch over to another project that we created, this one is a new solution. It actually produces an 8.0 library, Apollo Wrapper.
Okay.
And it references that Apollo Launcher project. So here it's the same exact project. It builds the same, it exposes the same interfaces. And inside of our code, we actually implement that. So here we have Apollo Store that derives from our abstract class store base.
Right.
And it then implements all of those methods that we defined. So if you take a look at, for instance, load listing information async, we actually use the 8.0 platform objects to call into current app.load listing information async.
I see.
And to our audience, one thing we want to point out here is that with Windows Phone 8, we provide about 3 options to our customers to kind of get information from the catalog store. One is get the entire list, which is what Tyler is showing here. The other option is to get information for a given product. Or if you were doing a category or a context, then we can also give you information based on a keyword, which are all very interesting ways to slice and dice the store that you are showing within your application.
So if you want to expose those, you can just put those into your base interface definitions, and then you can go and implement those inside of your implementing type. We just implemented the things that we are using. We could have actually made this a little bit more generic or more high level and done things like give me all of my stats or give me all of whatever we're storing, upgrades. So Here we have our implementation, and I'm not going to go through everything, but basically we implement all of the different things that we've defined using the 8.0 platform APIs. And then if we hop back over to our 7.5 app, you can see that Taptitude project, which is our main game project, has a reference. It's actually included in the Taptitude project,
right.
This DLL that we just built. This is the Apollo Wrapper implementation DLL. And we include it as content, and we tell it to copy.
Now, you could have added this to your solution, too, if you wanted this all in one solution.
So
right?
The problem with adding it to your solution at this point is that the solution is it's a 7.5
oh,
solution.
It. Right, so you couldn't, actually.
Nope.
No, this is a case where you need to have 2 different solutions.
Yep.
Yeah.
So we include it as content, and then it'll get copied into our Zap. And once it's in our Zap, we now can actually start to use it. And so the reason why we define this in that abstract API is actually so that we only need one place where we use Reflection, and that is to actually get the implementing type.
I see.
So
you want to minimize your use of Reflection because it has a huge performance impact.
Yep, and it's actually a little bit harder to use than just calling known methods. So we have a quick check here, is store available, which we've sort of pulled out into its own component.
And you set that up based on the OS version there.
Yep. The implementation for that says that, you know, we only want to make the store available if the environment.osversion.version.major is greater than 8, which is the Windows Phone 8 devices.
Yes.
So this will actually never run unless it's on that type of a device. So looking down here, then it's just a simple, this is actually just a helper method that uses Reflection to pull that type out. So, you know, this could be replaced with type.getType, and then here we define the actual implementation of the Apollo Store.
Got it. This is fantastic because, you know, Windows Phone 8 devices are just going to start being sold this fall, and they aren't going to have a huge market penetration until for a little while.
Right.
And so you want your application to still be relevant for 7 devices, and that's why this is a great practice that allows you to do that.
Mm-hmm. We can light this up just for those 8.0 devices. And for everyone else, the store actually would never show up. And the icon that you saw in the demo, or we will see in the demo, won't be there.
So what are some of the key things that a person should take away from this? I mean, obviously, you can light up this new in-app purchase feature for your 7 apps is one of them.
Mm-hmm.
But what else would you say?
So there's a few things I'll walk through in code as well to make sure that you don't forget how to do.
Okay.
Let me hop back over to Taptitude here. Go down to get inventory.
Yeah.
So one of the things we want to show is what the actual flow looks like from a code's perspective. Now
remember
that this is going to be wrapped up in our, you know, abstract APIs, but the calls are very similar to the 8.0 APIs. So here we have our load listing information async. This is where we get our items from the catalog and we actually, you know, retrieve them and show them to the user. So once we've created our items, this is where we create the UI for them.
I see.
And we parse the tag and do everything else with it. What we actually do is create UI items and allow you to purchase them there. Once they click on the item, we have a different flow that you need to go through, which is request product purchase async. This opens up the dialog that you saw that shows the purchase UI and allows the user to confirm or decline.
It's like
a launcher. It's basically a launcher, yeah. And then once it returns, you'll have a completed event. And from that, you can determine whether or not they clicked yes and confirm. If they did, then there's a few things you need to actually do.
To fulfill.
You need to first check to make sure that the license, you need to enumerate all of the licenses and make sure that the isActive flag is set to true. This is an API call that, you know, checks the receipt, does a couple of things to make sure that it's a valid license.
Yeah. It's to take home, if you took home anything that today, is that anytime you do a purchase and the successful call comes back, please, please always check on is active. We have invested in the platform to validate that it was a good purchase and it was authentic, and we will check that and we'll let you know. And so then from there on, you can
go
ahead.
We want you to get your money.
Yes. We want you to get your money, and we want us all to be safe here.
Another takeaway is also, it's up to you as the developer to actually fulfill any of the purchases with actual in-game rewards. But you still need to register the fact that you fulfilled it with the platform. And so there's another call that you can make called report product fulfillment. And you need to do this after you award the assets. And our award assets is, you know, our game specific. So here you would replace it with whatever
You're letting the store actually know that the app has validated the purchase.
Correct. And the thing about this is that if you, for some reason, are not able to report this back to us and the customer comes back and purchases the thing again, then we will let the purchase go through because we think that this has still not been fulfilled, so we won't charge them. So we want you to make sure that you fulfill, and then the next time around when the purchase call comes through, we put a second charge. So this is very, very important from a repeat purchase scenario.
And the actual fulfillment is something that you yourself are doing, either in the code of the app itself,
yes,
or if you've got to have some sort of server component, you might need to have a server application delivering something in a server somewhere.
Correct. If you have a level that is hosted somewhere or some sort of goods that you're delivering, then you deliver these goods through those hosted servers.
Like a music video or what have you.
Mm-hmm. So another key takeaway is you know, we love consumables. We love repeat purchases. We want people to be able to come back and buy more of the same item because it's easier on our end. So I would recommend using consumables if that you know fits your game to basically increase your revenue by allowing repeat purchases.
Yeah, who wouldn't want to buy the devil's axe over and over again?
That's right. Of course, there are certain types of games this fits into real easily and others where maybe it doesn't fit in quite as easily.
Up to your judgment.
But as you think about a game that you might want to implement on Windows Phone, this is something to take into account now because we now have this functionality available. And so it makes sense to have coins or some sort of point system where people can buy new functionality or features. Mm-hmm. Yeah. A lot of people are doing this now.
Larry, I've seen a lot of examples where developers will invest in ways that allow repeat customer engagement with your app. So that should be your goal with using of this feature, is that every time the customer comes in, how do you make it more interesting, more engaging, more fun for your customers? And through some of these upsells, mm-hmm. you can both make money, which is what you know we want you to do, and at the same time, make sure your customers are having a great time.
Right. I know some games leverage this by giving people the ability to make the game easier in some way or add some additional power to your flexibility, a new type of ammo or what have you. So there's a lot of different ways that this could be leveraged.
So if, I think we're going to take one step back and go to the actual Windows Phone Dev Center, and we can take a look at Taptitude's in-app purchase content.
Because you manage this on the server.
Yep. Yeah. So these are the entries that we've submitted for the app in the demo that you saw. We have Taptitude Gold, credits 500, credits 1,000, credits 100. These are actually the IDs of the in-app purchase items. And so they happen to mimic exactly what we want to give with each one of them. I'm going to dig down into the details of credits 100 and so we can see what's all involved. So here you'll see the in-app product ID. This is what you're going to look up, and this is what you're going to use to fulfill the ID of the in-app purchase.
So is that something that you use in your code to make sure that this is what the customer is buying and to do the corresponding fulfillment?
We do. We don't explicitly call it out hard-coded as credits 100. We do that load listing information async, which retrieves all of our in-app purchases, and based on what they purchase, we'll use that ID from the resulting object.
And that's the smart way to do it.
So one of the things I want to point out here is there's also a field called tag, which lets you put in your own user-defined information. And one of the key takeaways that we had was we want to use that tag as much as possible to sort of control what's given out in that in-app purchase. And so we have a little bit of an encoding here of what's actually in that in-app purchase item. But you can see that we're giving away credits of quantity 100 and coins of quantity 10,000.
These are name value pairs that describe the actual item in some detail.
And so it allows us to sort of control that on the server, what we give out. And if we find out later on, maybe we want to switch it from credits 100 to be, you know, 50 credits, we can do that without having to republish our game with new code changes. So
one of the places where we think that developers will take advantage of this is to do some sort of promotions. So let's say you're having a down day and you want to get more engagement, then maybe you can increase the number of things you're delivering through the same goods. So you know, use tags. Tags are your friends and can help you get better engagement.
One of the things we actually implemented was a way to, put a little piece of information in the tag saying whether or not it's on sale. And that lets us sort of put a little sale icon.
Oh, I see.
Yep.
So in the UI. So this is actually, right. So there are a number of different practices around UI here that will be visible once we post the code.
Yep.
Yeah.
Great. Anything else?
Oh.
No? All right. Well, this is a fantastic new feature. We're very excited to bring this to Windows Phone 7 applications in addition to Windows Phone 8 applications. Of course, the feature is only available for Windows Phone 8 devices. But the key thing to note here is that this gives you the ability to add this functionality now to your existing applications. And then once someone gets a Windows Phone 8 device, they'll be able to take advantage of it.
Correct.
Exactly.
Well, thank you very much. This is Larry Lieberman. We'll see you next time on Inside Windows Phone.